A report by the Independent Police Conduct Authority, or IPCA for short, has found significant elements of bullying and a related negative culture within the police workforce. The Police Commissioner, Andrew Costa, is rejecting accusations the way it promotes officers could be corruption. Well, joining me now is Chris Cahill, who's the president of the Police Association, and he also holds the rank of Detective Inspector. Kia ora, Chris.
Kia ora, Karen. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you had a chance to thoroughly read the Independent Police Conduct Authority's report?
Yeah, no, look, I've certainly gone through it pretty thoroughly. Fortunately, I can't say I'm surprised by the findings. I mean, we've had the Debbie Francis review previously, and we've also surveyed our members, and it would be fair to say the results of this report are pretty similar to what our members were telling us directly.
So you do talk to your members in a way that gathers this information?
Not to the level of detail of this report, which, you know, I have to applaud it as a good detailed report, but certainly we get feedback on the bullying, the number and the sort of percentage of people who have been affected by bullying. And our survey say 25% of our members said that they'd been the victims of bullying, which pretty much mirrors what this report is saying.
What's your own experience? As I said, you're a detective inspector, so you've been in the police force for a very long time. So what's your own experience of bullying within the police force?
Probably the issue that I struck, and which I think is the most disappointing and is highlighted in this report, is when someone had a different opinion, they were shut down. And that probably got worse in recent times. So if you weren't singing the manager how things should be done, you were shut down, you weren't welcome at meetings, and your opinion certainly wasn't valued. And that, to me, is a real indictment. You know, the more opinions you can have in the mix, the more solutions that you're going to have in a better organisation, the better results you're going to have. So I'm really pleased to see that that's been highlighted.
In your opinion, why is this happening within the police force? Why is it allowed to happen? Do they have an HR department?
Well, I do think I have to make one point, and that there was a positive, if you want to try and look for it out of here, that the report did say this isn't systemic across the organisation. It's particular work groups, particular areas, though I say there is a number of them. It certainly isn't limited. One of the real issues is that the HR and our employment relations were not doing the role of taking complaints in an appropriate manner and ensuring they were listened to and acted upon. So people felt that if they put their head up, they would become even victimised again, or they'd simply be ignored. And that's when things are allowed to fester. If you actually dealt with these issues when they were brought to attention, and look, a lot of the time, some of the people that are perhaps committing this bullying don't understand the approach that they're taking is having the effect it is. You've got some people that comes from, you know, we were for a long time a very hierarchical structure. And, you know, some people are brought up with a different management style. And if someone's not saying to them, actually, the way you're communicating is not coming across appropriately, then they don't really know the change.
Yes, and oftentimes HR are management, so, you know, they are part of that team. And according to the report, it does come from the top, as you've just said, and that there was a management style that was fostered by the police. Well, what kind of style is that? Because that's not how we see the public face of the police.
Yeah, well, again, I think we have to say it's not everyone. It wasn't everyone, but in police there's a lot of you've got to do. And police are very good at getting things done, but sometimes you forget that you've got to take people along with you when you want to do that. And driving for, you know, ridiculous things like working, you know, ridiculous hours, expecting everyone to be able to be available 24 hours a day and on call, and these sorts of things when people have different lives and those sorts of things, create an environment where people don't feel safe. And so that's the sort of thing we had. So police are very good at getting things done, but it doesn't mean you've actually brought everyone into the, shall we say, the team to work. And also, if you're doing that, you're not actually getting everyone's opinion around what's the best solution for a problem.
So now that it's on the table and it's out in the fresh air, as it were, what's going to change?
Well, I think there's some key things that we're pleased to see. I think for a start, there is a change at the top. I've been pleasantly, the commissioner's had a bit of he's taken a fair bit of pressure in the last last week or so around his style. But one thing I will say is he's a very good communicator and he's open to listening. And he's given a clear message to his executive that he expects them to do the same. And so these people that haven't been able to have a voice, hopefully in the future they will be able to speak up. The second thing is the police have changed the appointments process, which has always long been a bane of staff, that it isn't fair, that it creates nepotism, creates factions. So having a more independent approach to appointments, I think that's the positive. And then the other thing is changing the way people can report bad behaviour. So having a better system to report and record those reporting and deal with it in a timely manner. If those things can all get embedded and make real change, then I think the culture can change with it.
What's an independent approach to appointments? What do you mean by that?
Well, for a start, when you're shortlisting, the actual shortlisting isn't done by the people who the position is going to report to. It's done by independent people. So they go through a process and shortlist. And then there should be an independent person on the panel who actually appoints and does the interview. So you're not getting a situation where a detective senior sergeant might appoint his three best mates to the D sergeant's job. You're getting someone coming and going, actually, you're not looking at this person fairly or considering their skills. It's also understanding the value in leadership versus just operational experience and getting that mix better as well.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of difficulty with your line there, Chris, so I hope everyone can hear what you're saying. I wanted to
try a bit of movement. How's that? Is that better there?
Yeah, that does sound a lot better. I wanted to ask you too, when it points to these specific work areas within the police where this bullying is happening, what work areas are they?
They're pretty varied, in fairness. You know, when you go across and look at the report, even though they don't identify individuals, you can pick that. You know, it's quite varied. You've got ones where it's mainly made up of police employees or what we refer to as non-sworn staff. Then you've got areas like the CIB. But to be honest, it's pretty spread. And that sort of, in a way, says that it's often around the individual or individuals that operate in that environment.
And when you hear the words boys club, which has been bandied around today and is in the report, what does that conjure up for you?
Well, I do note that when they say the boys' club, they say it's not actually gender-based, which I find interesting. But what they are certainly saying is this: when you have your faction and you appoint people that are your friends around you, people that work and think the same as you, and it's hard to break into that circle. And traditionally, in fairness, that has been a boys' club. I think there's been a lot of change there now. You can look at the leadership of the police, and you know they've really made a big effort to increase the female representation on that. But this report actually says that still created at times areas of nepotism where it was still a group of people that they'd worked with or understood. And again, I come back to one of the points I made, is that when you do that, you're really restricting the diversity of thought, and that limits everyone.
Chris, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you very much.
That's Chris Cahill, the President of the Police Association, and apologies for the sound quality on that call, as it often is when it's live and we're talking to someone on a mobile.